Welcome to the Townships at 12. I'm your host, Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and I will be with you for the next hour. In the first half hour today, I will be talking with Dr. Rachel Reeve. Dr. Reeve is the Executive Director of Research and Science at Diabetes Canada. She will talk about the importance of funding for diabetes research and some recent exciting advancements that have been funded by Diabetes Canada. I will also have some community announcements and some music. We will start the show today with a song from Anne Pringle Burnell, and the song is called Something I Can Feel. Right after the song, we will hear the interview with Dr. Reeve. Dr. Rachel Reeve has a PhD from the Institute of Medical Sciences at the University of Toronto in regenerative medicine. A stem cell biologist by training, Dr. Reeve is interested in improving treatments and quality of life for people at risk or living with diabetes. She is the Executive Director of Research and Science at Diabetes Canada. So welcome, Dr. Reeve.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, could you tell us what the vision is for Diabetes Canada?
Diabetes Canada's vision is a world free of the effects of diabetes. And Diabetes Canada is supporting research towards that vision across prevention, treatment, and cure for all types of diabetes, as well as supporting treatment for its complications.
Okay. Now, why is funding diabetes research so important?
Funding diabetes research is incredibly important, and it's something that I've committed my career to because of its importance. You know, all of our breakthroughs in treatments and improvements in management of a health condition like diabetes, they all start with research. And diabetes in Canada is very fortunate to have excellent diabetes researchers across the country working on type 1 diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and diabetes during pregnancy. And so it's making sure that we're able to support to the best of our abilities those researchers to bring forward improvements in care to the over 4 million people living with diabetes in Canada.
Okay, now what kinds of research does Diabetes Canada fund?
So I mentioned that Diabetes Canada is funding research for type 1 diabetes, type 2 diabetes, to prevent the occurrence of diabetes and to better support people through pregnancy with diabetes, as well as what we call the four health pillars of health research. So that includes biomedical research, which is what you think of that gets done in a lab by scientists. So bench work, working with cell models, and all that would be biomedical research. So it's the earliest discoveries. The next step would be clinical research. And that's when those early discoveries and other research are brought to the clinic to test on people, as well as health services research, which is that delivery of care, how best to provide care to people who need it and how to improve efficiencies, and then population health research. That's where you'll see interventions, ways to help prevent type 2 diabetes, and what can be done at the population or the community level to support people with or at risk of diabetes. So the breadth of the research portfolio really is quite broad. We think of it across all types of diabetes and all types of research. And as well, it's across the country. So really excited that right now, after having announced the End Diabetes Awards, our annual grant competition, Diabetes Canada is supporting 76 research projects. But those research projects include 260 researchers at 20 research institutes across Canada.
Okay. Now, what have been some past advances that have been funded by Diabetes Canada?
Diabetes Canada has a long history of supporting excellent research in the country. And so we've been supporting research with the research program since 1975. So next year will be 50 years. And I could mention a lot of successes and progress. And before I do, I think I'll mention that each of these projects and successes, they take years. And so it's really exciting when you see these breakthroughs. So one is actually from researchers based in Montreal at McGill. And that is the development of the artificial pancreas. And that would be automated insulin delivery. And so what that is it really improves the quality of life of people living with type 1 diabetes in that their continuous glucose monitors can now communicate with their insulin pumps. And that means that without having to carb count and calculate how much insulin to give yourself, your technology and your devices are doing that for you. This is a substantial breakthrough. You think of how many decisions, the commonly used numbers, somebody with diabetes is making 180 decisions a day about their care and self-administering insulin along with other drugs and medicines to help themselves. And this is a case where they can now look to their technology and their devices that they're wearing to really help improve their care and their quality of life, because they still do their checks and balances, but their devices can really help support them. And that automated insulin delivery or artificial pancreas, we know that it improves glucose or your blood sugar management. So that means that you have more time spent in range, which means more time where your blood sugars are in the desired, at the desired levels. And the more time you can spend with your sugars at the desired levels, that improves how you feel, that it improves your health overall, and it reduces your risk of complications in the future. So such an exciting breakthrough in treatment for people living with diabetes, that came out of research based at McGill.
That's really fascinating. Just awesome. Okay, do you have any statistics about how many people are living with diabetes in Canada?
Absolutely, we do. So Diabetes Canada spends a lot of time working on these numbers because it's so important for ourselves and lots of diabetes-based or related organizations in Canada. So it's over 4 million people in Canada are living with diabetes. The exact number is about 4.1 million. And that includes both type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes. Really interesting thing about data, the number of people living with type 1 diabetes is about 7% of that total number. If you add on top of that, we know that there's over, on top of that 4 million people who are diagnosed with diabetes, equates to one person diagnosed every 3 minutes in Canada. There's over 1 million people who live with type 2 diabetes, but are not diagnosed. So such an opportunity there to think about how we can improve care delivery and how we can better support people living with diabetes. If you don't know that you're living with it, you of course aren't getting the care that you need. So such an opportunity there to improve their quality of life.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Do you know if the statistics are higher in any particular provinces?
We know that the statistics are higher based on many factors. And so I'll start by saying that, you know, diabetes is incident. It's complicated, and there's lots of risk factors. We know that certain populations are at a higher risk of developing type 2 diabetes, including people of African, Arab, Asian, Hispanic, Indigenous, and South Asian descent. We also know that people who are older are at higher risk of type 2 diabetes. And that people with lower levels of income or education are also at higher risk of diabetes. So it's really that there's a lot, you know, diabetes, we see it's complex, it's biological, it's genetic, it's based on socioeconomic factors, it's based on lots of ways in which we can think about how to better support people, to either support them if they're living with diabetes or how to prevent its incidence in the first place.
Okay. I've read that with younger people, the population has almost doubled, young people having diabetes in the last couple of decades.
The incidence of type 2 diabetes in youth and young adults is absolutely increasing. And it's a real call to action. We know that there are some modifiable risk factors. When I mentioned population health research, and that's prevention at the community level. And so what can we do to minimize those modifiable risk factors, which might be through lifestyle, through healthy eating and choices where you have choices available. And then thinking about at the health services and the systems level is how, if we are seeing increased incidence of type 2 diabetes in youth and young adults, I mean, what do we need to do at a systems level to change that? There are certain populations, specifically Indigenous peoples, who are seeing increased incidence at younger ages as well. It's really important to think about.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Now, I've read that 70% of lower limb losses in Canada are related to diabetes. That's quite a shocking number.
It is. It is. And I sometimes think that when you put all these stats together, it's so challenging to think about where to start to best make an impact. And there's so much that can be done, which I think is really exciting. I actually just heard about a study this morning that was focused on how to increase screening to reduce lower limb amputations. And when we think about how to best deliver care, we know that people living with diabetes are at high risk of lower limb wounds, and those wounds, if not sufficiently treated, lead to amputations. there's such an opportunity to improve screening for people who are at risk of lower limb amputation. And when I mention the socioeconomic status that contributes to people's risk of developing type 2 diabetes, those that same risk factors in terms of lower income or lower education also contribute to increased risk of complications if they are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. So much opportunity there. And I am really hopeful to the future once you identify these challenges, it's the right time to be able to start to improve care and to help mitigate for the future.
Okay, it sounds really fascinating, a lot of work you're doing there at Diabetes Canada. Anything else you'd like to add before we go, Dr. Reeve?
I think I would just end by saying that diabetes is such an important health condition in our communities, and it's really exciting as we think about the research that Diabetes Canada is supporting, all of the opportunity ahead when we think about improved approaches to prevent diabetes, all the new models, all the new treatments and models of care coming forward. And I'm really excited about all the outcomes of the End Diabetes Awards that Diabetes Canada just announced, because it's really exciting to see the future of diabetes care in Canada.
It's very exciting and definitely a lot of help for people living with diabetes type 1 or type 2.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Dr. Reeve.
Thank you so much for speaking with me.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer. Let it be.
And we just heard from Dolly Parton, Let It Be, featuring Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr. And next up, we have some community events to announce here on the Townships at 12. Hope Community Church invites families to a free skating day. That happens on Sunday, February 4th. Join them between 2 and 4 p.m. at the Bishop's University Sportsplex, 2600 College Street in Lenoxville. Bring your helmets and bring your skates. For more information about their upcoming events, check out their website at hccLenoxville.ca. And also coming up, it's a Valentine High Tea held on February 11th, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. or 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. The cost is $40 per person. It's allergy-friendly options that are available, but you must RSVP by February 5th. The email info@colbycurtis.ca, so that's the Colby Curtis Museum out in Stanstead. Sunnyside Elementary Fundraiser, the Sunnyside Parents Participation Organization, currently accepting donations for their upcoming annual bingo. The items will be used as prizes for the bingo winners. Items can be dropped off at Sunnyside Elementary School, 441 Dufferin Street in Stanstead, or you can contact the PPO at sunnysideppo@gmail.com to arrange for pickup. Now, the bingo will be held in the Sunnyside Gymnasium on Saturday, February 17th. Doors are open at noon and games start at 1 p.m. A concession stand will be available on site for refreshments available for purchase. We also have some activity here at the Bowl Museum out in Quaticook. They are currently having two exhibitions. One is by Stephanie Laurent, and that is about circular creations. Also one by Patricia Lapointe, and her exhibition is Domo Jardin d'Hiver. And also at the Sherbrooke Museum of Science and Nature, they are just starting their Histoire de Pêche, stories about fishing, so that's also interesting. Also coming up, the Hugs campaign still on for Mental Health Estrie, trying to help the homeless this winter. Now Hugs, hats, underwear, gloves, and scarves and socks and other warm articles of clothing is what they're looking for. They especially want some articles for men, some larger articles in neutral colors, hairbrushes, deodorants, toothpaste, etc. All new items. They're also welcome, any kind of toiletries. You can drop off the items directly at their offices in the beige bins next to door number 2 at 3355 College Street in Lenoxville, or you can write them a check and put Hugs in the memo line. All monetary gifts are used to purchase essentials, so make sure if it's a check, you give it to them directly, either when their office is open or call them and arrange a pickup. Now, for information, we have a telephone number here, 819-565-3777, or their email is projects@mentalhealthestrie.com. And also, if you belong to a nonprofit organization or you know of one with an activity coming up, I would love to interview them or at least get their event coming up out in our airwaves. So please give me an email. I have two, cjmqnews@yahoo.ca or cjmqnews@gmail.com, and we'll get in touch with them. So that's it for the community events for today. Next up, we will hear a word from a few of our sponsors and the news with Derek Bullard, and then I will be back for the second half hour with an interview with Bruce Banfill, Assistant Director of Transportation at the Eastern Township School Board. We will close out the first half hour of today's show with a song called I'm Still Here by Bahamas.
Stop them. But he do, what he do, what he do. He makes his own facts. He don't sign contracts. He don't pay back tax. He just do, what he do, what he do. If it just feels right, want that limelight, to have no stage fright. Just do what you do, what you do. I'm still wet behind the ears, I'm still wise beyond my years. I'm still going it alone, I'm still trying to hold my own. This hunger to change my number and move down under. But I do what I do, what I do. I'm feeling stuck here. There's nothing new here. I need some new gear. But I do what I do, what I do. You let me babble till I unravel. We used to travel. Behind the ears, I'm still wide beyond my ears. I'm still going it alone, I'm still trying to hold my own. Behind the ears, I'm still wide beyond my ears.